And sometimes that's where the work really needs to happen. And then it makes it much easier to go back and work on the physical. And honestly, when you have that mental, emotional, or that energetic level flowing easier, a lot of the physical stuff shifts just on its own. I mean, it's kind of miraculous. And this ties back in to this glass ceiling thing.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my honor and privilege to be with you here on another brand new episode. And I'm so excited. I have a dear, dear friend on. And let me introduce you to Dr. Jenny Tafankian. She's a naturopathic physician and functional medicine educator. And she teaches patients and students and practitioners alike to increase their understanding of complex chronic conditions. And to me, that's really hard to find someone that's willing to take the time, because, you know, with an autoimmune condition, there are, what I like to say, multiple moving parts. And she has a wonderful YouTube channel, and I was watching one of her videos recently, and she talked about a concept that I called her up and I said, let's share. So what I want to start with is, welcome, Dr. Jenny. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much. I love being here with you. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Sharon, and to be here with your audience. Thank you.
So, me too. It's so good. With the pandemic and everything, we haven't seen each other in person in a while, but it's good to see your face.
Likewise. I know.
Now, I know that you are a chronic fatigue syndrome thriver. You actually have gone through 2 bouts in your own life. And I think, if I remember right, I want you to share the details, but that propelled you into what you do now for a living. It became a mission.
100%.
Tell us a little bit about your history, and then we'll dive into some of the other topics that I called you about.
Sure. So my history of chronic fatigue, when I realized now I had it for way longer than I realized I did, but when I first identified and I have to admit, I resisted the identification of having chronic fatigue. I fought it strong and hard. I was a second year medical student. I was a naturopathic medical student. I liked to do a lot of things in my life. I was very busy. I decided to become a physician when I was 6 months pregnant and single with my first child. So I went through medical school with a child. And it was in second year medical school that I decided, since my first child was sleeping through the night, it was time to have another kid. I truly believed I was superwoman and I could do it all. Was very excited about that. Got pregnant, had a miscarriage, and ended up going through the process of grieving and dealing with that. Got pregnant again. Everything was going great, but unfortunately, I experienced a number of losses. I had 4 or 5 very dear friends who died that year. And at 16, 17 weeks, I miscarried again. And it was devastating to experience that miscarriage. I ended up hemorrhaging. It was an emergency. I was rushed to the hospital, and I would have been a statistic, another one of those statistics of eons deep, right, of women who die during childbirth, if I had not had the modern medicine right there. This threw me into a huge dark night of the soul period, which I honestly feel like is one of those experiences. You know, I always believe there's something that we can all get out of our hard times. Like, there's always some kind of gift somewhere for us. And this dark night of the soul was no exception. I was honestly terrified. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I had severe anxiety. I was suicidally depressed. It was bad. And this period really allowed me to do some very deep work and deep healing. And I was blessed with healers who came to my side to help me heal. And when I came out of that deepest, darkest place, I was able to move from being flat in bed. Like I was so sick. I was flat in bed. I had IVs in my arm. I could hardly, you know, I was people who were attending to me later said, you know, we were afraid you were going to die. And, yeah, I mean, I was really on the edge. I really was. It allowed me as a medical student to have so much more compassion for many people's experiences of very hard illness. And I felt like I was so close to that death piece that when I started having people who are terminally ill come and see me, it didn't scare me in the same way as it might have before, because I was sort of like, I felt like I was right there on the verge. But in terms of the chronic fatigue, I was able to heal enough to get from bed to the couch. And I was able to get out of the deep anxiety and the deep depression, but I was left with this incredible exhaustion. And that's when one of my counselors said, hey, do you think you might have chronic fatigue? And I was like, no way. I'm not taking that label. Get your label off me. I don't want to have chronic fatigue. And then I started thinking about it going, yeah, okay, maybe. Now, this was back in the 90s. And do you remember the 90s with chronic fatigue? I mean, back then.
Yes, it was. Well, first off, the label to me from back then was, oh, my goodness, this is the fad thing. You know, this is the newest label. Right. And I just remember that it was very hazy. And if you met these specific body pressure points, you had it. Like some magic, push the buttons on your back and ta-da.
Yeah, that's what the fibromyalgia diagnosis was press the points. The chronic fatigue, Newsweek came out with an article calling it the yuppie flu.
Yeah,
and feeling like it was just an upper class, you know, basically white women just don't have anything better to do than to say they're too tired to do the dishes, you know? So that was back in the 90s. And you can see why I wanted to resist that diagnosis. It wasn't very sexy and certainly didn't get a lot of attention. But anyway, I ended up having the chronic fatigue. And because I was able to get myself back into school, and I basically threw everything I had as a medical student and as a resident and put towards this chronic fatigue. And I came out of it, and I came out of it at 100%. I got myself to where I was 150% better. I got back to the point where I was started my clinic, and I was teaching at the school, and I had another kid, and I called it big wave surfing. I was working out. I was meditating. I was literally the healthiest I'd ever been, the strongest, the most fit I'd ever been in my life. And I knew I'd never get chronic fatigue again. People would come to me in the clinic with chronic fatigue, and I would start doing some of the same things to them. And sometimes it would work and sometimes it wouldn't, to be honest. What happened is that I ended up getting it a second time. And that's, you know, sometimes we get stuck in our own hubris, right? We think, oh, that'll never happen to me. and then it did. And it was this perfect storm of an injury that led to severe pain, sleep deprivation, and then a little sprinkling of perimenopause on top. And I slid really fast. And that's when I learned a very important thing about chronic fatigue, ME, and now long COVID, which is that relapse is always possible. And it's incredibly fast. Like you can end up going down that slide. I don't know if you've experienced that with your experience with things when you get.
You know, I have a bright spot in that is I recognize it fairly quickly.
Right. Exactly.
I'm like, been here. Let's jump in and get the soldiers marching right away.
Totally.
So in a way, do I want to have a flare, as I call them? No, but luckily I'm pretty quick to notice the signs and symptoms that not only I ignored at the beginning, but medical professionals ignored or mislabeled in the beginning. Now that's the go-to diagnosis if I start seeing certain symptoms.
Yes.
But the thing that you just mentioned was long COVID. And as you know, we haven't spoken since my third bout, but anyway, I've gone through it three times. And
oh, I didn't realize. Oh my gosh.
First time I did have a very serious long COVID. And what I find fascinating about the whole thing is I'm really, in my mind, very safe and stuff. It's just out there. It's easy to get. And yes, I do worry about, I feel like I've isolated so much and been so that every time I go out, maybe my immune system's not as strong as it was a couple of years ago. Cause you know, when you're getting exposed to things constantly, consistently, but that's a different topic for another show, I think. But I am concerned about the long COVID, and because it does take a long time. It took me a while to get over. Although when I started to, I was getting over it, got COVID again, and I immediately started feeling the symptoms of long COVID again. There again, I had the tool chest and I went right to it.
Yes.
So it hasn't been as bad. The bright point in my mind with long COVID is I'm hoping, because I see it as a massive tsunami wave of long COVID coming across our borders here for the whole world, actually.
Yes.
I'm concerned, you know, that people will be cornered or shunned in a way that a lot of autoimmune people are, like, it's all in your head, et cetera. Mm-hmm. However, the bright point, hopefully maybe now there'll be more attention paid, and maybe now people will, science will pay more attention to all autoimmune conditions.
Mm-hmm. That's already happened. That's already happening. And I agree that that's a very bright point. So I feel like what you're talking about is so much of what I feel like is very important for people who are struggling, who have had any kind of chronic condition mm-hmm. that has a potential for relapse, is understanding what your signs are that you're at the verge of relapse and having your toolkit. You say, get the soldiers marching. To me, it's like, what's your toolkit? Like, what's your personal toolkit? What do you need to grab and get back to doing to get yourself to stop that downhill slide?
I love that you say get back to doing. I started keeping a journal. I had journaled before, but you know, but I kept a very specific detailed journal the second bout, just because I was fascinated, because it was so different than the first bout. That was helpful for me to know very quickly and immediately what to do.
Yeah.
Yes, having that toolkit and going, okay.
Yeah.
let's get going sooner rather than later on fixing this.
And I feel like this is a good point to just say, I feel like one of the risks that we all hold is this very powerful sense of denial. And I really think denial is there for any kind of relapse. You know, I don't care if it's a relapse of a habit. I don't care if it's a relapse of an emotional state, you know, like you get out of your victim and then you relapse into your victim state, or if it's a relapse of a chronic condition. Relapse is one of those things that we tend to not want to admit to ourselves, and we don't want to admit to others. And I feel like I certainly experienced this when I was going through my relapse, because I did relapse the second time. And I could really feel myself fighting it. I was very exhausted after a big trip to Armenia, and I came back. I had this knee injury and I refused. I was so fit. I didn't want to stop working out, but I had the knee injury and I was told I couldn't do a lot of the things I was used to doing for exercise. So I decided I could swim and I could work on my upper body and my core because my knee was messed up. And so I went and I was hitting it double down. And then I woke up one morning with a sore shoulder and a stiff neck. And I thought, oh, you know, in my mind, I'm like, I'm 24. This will work its way out, right? You know? And I went back to the pool and I'm pushing harder and harder and I'm swimming through the pain and I'm going, this is really good. I'll just keep doing this. And I kept doing it and I kept pushing myself. And I really didn't want to accept I did not want to stop. I didn't want to stop. I was used to living this big life. And I ended up causing a shoulder injury, which went into frozen shoulder, which was the severe pain that kept me up and really triggered this whole flare into my relapse. And so I really just want to, anyone who's listening to this, who is just at the verge of that relapse, and you're feeling yourself in that denial, and also, it's just, you don't want to admit it to yourself, but it's also very hard if you have loved ones who have watched and held you go through the process of dealing with being chronically ill. We know it's hard on our family and our loved ones as well. And it's like, you don't want to admit to them either that you're going through this piece. But what I will say is, the faster you can face that truth in yourself, and the faster that you can speak that truth to your loved ones and your support team, the faster you can course correct and catch yourself, so that slide doesn't become a deep slide, but just becomes a dip. Now, for me, that's not what happened. I crashed. Like I went down, and I didn't crash as hard as I did the first time. I could see that big hole where I could fall in and end up back in bed. And this time I had a huge overhead at my clinic. I had employees. I had a huge amount of patients. I for me to stop working and go back to bed at that point literally would have been bankruptcy for me and my family. Like literally, like there was no choice. I had to get better. And so what I did was I couldn't sleep because of the pain. So I just got up. I would get up, I'd sleep a little bit, get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and literally just dive into PubMed, anything I could find on the internet. I was just researching and researching, what is the cause of chronic fatigue? What is this? What do we know? What do we not know? How can I put the pieces together in a way that's different? Because the truth is that first time I crashed, I got myself 150% better. But what I did then didn't work. Back then it was adrenal stuff and it was mercury detox. That wasn't enough. That wasn't what was going on this time. There was more to it. And the truth is that when patients came to me with chronic fatigue before I had the second crash, I could help them sometimes, but I didn't really understand exactly what I needed to do for all the different types of patients that were coming. And what I discovered in my research is that there are 5 root causes of chronic fatigue, and somebody may have 1, 2, 3, or all 5 of them. And so you really need to figure out which is your root cause, and then you can put that plan together and get yourself into a higher state of wellness.
So I'm curious about this, that the 5 root causes, have you seen similar types of things like with across the board in all autoimmunes, or this is very specific to chronic fatigue?
Well, that's a really good question. So I actually think a lot of autoimmune, I think that a lot of autoimmune is actually the immune system behaving exactly how it should, but it's attacking things that are in the cells that shouldn't be there. So it's the immune system is picking up the fact that there is a virus stuck in your thyroid. And so it's attacking your thyroid cell because there's a virus in there, or there is a heavy metal in that joint, or there is an infection process. And when we're starting to look at some of the treatments that are working for rheumatoid arthritis, we're looking at anti-infective agents are actually really supporting people in a deeper sense of healing. And this is something I found upon accident with a patient who has RA, and we started treating her with some Chinese herbs for a deep infection, and her ESR, her inflammation levels started to tank, go way down, in a very healthy way. It's pretty interesting. So across the board, I would have to really sit down and think about that, Sharon. It's a good question. But I do feel that a lot of the root causes, they do interact. And a lot of people with autoimmune conditions do end up having a number of those root causes going on. And when I see them address those root causes, I do see my autoimmune patients going into remission.
Because I'm curious about, there are a few things that I've discovered through my show. And one of them is that oftentimes if you're diagnosed with one, it's not unusual to be diagnosed with more than one.
That's right.
Or you can come through with one into the place of remission, and then all of a sudden there's a new label. Something happens and maybe you think it's a flare, but then all of a sudden, oh, well, no, now these body parts are involved. And so it's interesting to me how sometimes that, for me, with my condition, it can sometimes feel like a moving target. Like I wish, I've said more than once, sometimes I just wish I could stabilize the symptoms so I could think about them like, okay, well, we'll work on that. And I've noticed this with other people that have been on the show where they say, well, it started out this way and then it evolved this way and then we fixed that and this happened.
Yeah. I think when we talk about what is an autoimmune condition is really just a label that the medical profession has put on a set of symptoms, right? Really, it's just a label. It's not really talking about what is it. It's what those symptoms are called. It's really not what is happening in your body. Like, what is that root cause? What is really happening? And so that's why I think it can be a little bit of a distraction to get really focused on what the name of the thing is. I think the real question should be, what does this body and being need? And what does, what is out of balance? What can I bring more into balance so that my body can respond appropriately to whatever is the root cause that's going on with me? And I'm always, always about the physical body, the mental, emotional body, as well as the energetic, spiritual body, because all of those bodies interact and affect our health in a very profound way.
Well, absolutely. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk about this video that you just put out on YouTube here. In there, you talked about the glass ceiling. And I was so interested in that concept that you promoted. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And today we're here with Dr. Jenny Tafankian, and she's a naturopathic physician and functional medicine educator. She's also an expert in chronic fatigue syndrome, as well as complex chronic conditions and issues and diseases. And she's been talking about her own awakening and moments of profound interest in chronic fatigue syndrome and how she's recovered from it twice, and her deeper understanding of what are the causes and how we get out of that. And you were talking recently on YouTube, and you had mentioned, and it struck a chord with me, the idea of this glass ceiling that you would bump up against in your healing, and then there would be like this time of pause. And that took me one place in my own healing. And that was, I have to sometimes battle myself in a similar, but not exactly how you described what your glass ceiling description was. But mine was, this is good enough.
Yes.
Meaning maybe the next step was a little scary, or, you know, I was like, what if the next step, causes some sort of chain reaction or whatever. So
yes.
I wanted to talk about this idea of glass ceiling, and then possibly this idea of what happens when I get stuck in this function of, well, this is better than that, so it's good enough.
Yeah, it's such a good question. I love being able to tease this out with you, because there's a lot in here that we can unpack. We'll see if we have time to unpack it all today. Between us, my experience with the glass ceiling and my story is that when I was healing for the second time and I was coming up with all these different root causes, I was discovering the root causes. I ended up having a ton of patients coming to me with chronic fatigue. I was able to really map out the 5 root causes with them. And I was noticing my patients were getting better than I was. And I knew that I had another place to go to discover this 5th root cause. And it was a place that I knew about that I had been resistant to go for a whole year. And then I finally was like, I have to do it. And one of the things that pushed me was I realized that I where I was before I went a little bit deeper into my healing is a place that I see a lot of people get stuck or decide to stay. And you can use either term. They either decided to stay there or they got stuck there. And it's this place that you're talking about. I was doing so much better. I mean, I went from that second time I relapsed to fearing I would go to be crashed in bed. I wasn't that anymore. And then I went to a place where I was in a, where I was at that time was as a place where I could work a really good, clear half day, come home, take a nap, and then work the second half of the day. And I, as long as I structured in that nap time, I was at a pretty good life. You know, I could work, I could do fun things with friends in the morning or in the evening. I just had to have that nap in the middle of the day. You know, it's like I had to be, you know, to get to bed at my right time and, you know, eat all the right foods and I had to do all the things, but I could function.
It was good enough.
It was good enough. And it was way better than that feeling of like, I have to be in bed all the time. And it was, but the truth was, because I had gotten 150% better before, and I knew what it was like to experience life without the fear of the crash, like literally just not fearing it, knowing I could go dance late at night if I wanted to and I would be okay. I could go and experience a new physical activity and be okay, or I could push myself for an intellectual project and be okay. I wanted that. Like I wasn't willing to settle for less, right? Because I'd had that experience and I wanted to do that. So I kept pushing myself for that. But even after that, I still found myself holding myself back a little bit until I had this big 10-mile hike that for me was pushing through my own glass ceiling. I think the reason people do this, I guess I would ask your listeners to think about if there's a place where they're holding themselves back. Like, is there a place you're holding yourself back right now that you'd like to be doing more? And one of the gauges that I use to decide is this just really smart pacing? Like, am I just doing a really good job with pacing myself? Or am I just doing a really good job with self-care? Am I doing a really good job with surrender? Because sometimes we talk about the importance of surrendering when you're dealing with, you know, chronic condition of just being at peace with what is, right? Like not having that fight anymore is really, how do you feel around it?
You know? And two parts of that came up when you discussed that in the YouTube is how do you feel around it? Because what was fascinating for me, my big breakthrough or my big push through the moment that I had to leap without in my mind without a net. wasn't true. I have you and others plenty of net, but you know, in my mind it was without a net. Was those times where I was so sensitive to, I'll put air quotes, everything, you know, that's an exaggeration, but I was so sensitive that even something that from the outside might seem very innocuous, like a vitamin or something, led me to a lot of anxiety to even put it in my mouth for fear mm-hmm. that was it going to be similar to what I just experienced with this other thing over here. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is one of your root causes, but what was fascinating to me was a breakthrough in my diet, I noticed that my anxiety became less when I did some things to my diet. I won't say clean it up, but it was fairly clean, but taking out sensitivities I didn't know I had. I was surprised, and this is probably a whole nother show, but for me, a big moment came that I was surprised at how connected some of my anxiety was to the way I was eating. Mm-hmm. I was mm-hmm. fascinated. It was sort of like what chemicals were going in were affecting me in a way that was probably exacerbating any anxieties or angst I had about things.
Yeah. And I love that you discovered that. And I feel like there's sort of different ways that we can approach, oh my gosh, do I keep, like you asked, do I keep looking for new things and ways of healing? Or do I just say this is enough and this is good enough? And if you had decided that it was just good enough, you never would have found that out about your diet.
Right.
But I also feel like it can be very overwhelming, especially if you're first looking at approaching some sort of chronic condition. First, And you go see a functional medicine doctor or a naturopath or an integrative MD who's willing to say, yes, there are things that you can do to get better. Right. If you find one of those, and then they give you this long list of things to get better, or you're exposed to podcasts like this, and you're starting to think, wow, do I need to do my diet? Do I have a chronic infection? Do I need to detox? What do I need to do to
or
get
maybe
myself
all of
better?
The above.
Yes, exactly.
And you're overwhelmed.
And it can feel so overwhelming to be like, where do I even start? And that's why I think it's really important to understand what are the priorities for you right now to get started in. Usually I look at the four pillars of good health when I'm working with somebody, or if they're taking one of my online programs, I guide them to choose what are the one or two health pillars. Like one of them is digestion detoxification. So for you, that was huge to make a shift there. What are your pillars you need to focus on? And then which root cause to break it down? And then I would say that take on as much as you can where you can have that curious mindset. Like you can be like, oh, I have a project. I'm going to work on getting my sleep dialed in, or I'm going to just work on getting my digestion and not worry about the rest of it. It's like when you remodel a house, just focus on the one room that you're doing. If it's overwhelming to do the whole thing, and just focus on that one room. And I think that can help. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Because recently, as I said, I was focusing in on my diet. Sometimes I can get overwhelmed with information.
Yes.
I had been told a while ago, you know, try this diet. And then I did for a while, but it wasn't quite right. I was like, no, yeah. You know, the yeah. inflammation's still there. So someone else said, oh, well then take out this. And pretty soon, finally, when I dialed in with the nutritionist that I'm working with now, I said, when she brought up the fact in our first meeting of a different diet, and I burst into tears because I was like, okay, let's see. I've been told no gluten, no eggs, no dairy, no, and I said, there's nothing left but lettuce.
Yeah, right.
And I think that sometimes we have to, as the person in with our own selves, say, okay, and trust ourselves. And there again, when I started keeping much more, not journaling exactly, but I'll say much more strict notes on responses, like, okay, did this work or did that not work? It was much more helpful for me. It was so funny. I have a dear friend who is just a data, I'll say it out loud, she'll appreciate it, but a data nerd.
Yeah.
And she helped understand her child's autoimmune condition, really made these very fancy data points, and she taught me how to do it. And I thought, wow, that was really helpful. But anyway, I digress there too. I just love talking to Dr. Jenny. I wanted to share one thing that you said to me, and it's circling back, but I just want to share it. You said to me a long time ago, and it was so important in my healing, was I came to you in tears one time, and I'm like, I was on the precipice of a flare, might have actually had one foot into the flare by then. And you so kindly pointed out, Sharon, when we met, you know, we were in this big hole, this big scary place, and we're up the mountain now. And yeah, you've slipped a couple of, you know, steps back, but you're not in that hole anymore. Mm-hmm. And I want to share that with people, that that's the idea that we're talking about here, is that when something happens, a flare or a setback, being able to reflect, like catching it in time before you are all the way back down in the bottom of this hole again. And that was so helpful. And I immediately know, okay, I'm only one step backwards, get moving in the right direction again.
Yeah, there's a lot that I could say about that step back. Sometimes that step back is actually beneficial at times. Sometimes it's the body doing work on another level and it feels like a step back, but it's not. It's actually part of your healing. You're just getting a break on some other level. But one thing I want to say about the data piece, I think the data piece is can be really, really valuable in terms of collecting data and doing that. And everything I'm hearing you talk about the data and the diet, it's all talking about the physical body, which is so important. Like, you know, mm-hmm. eating and all of that is so important. But sometimes if you're running into a brick wall around the physical, or you're experiencing a ton of overwhelm, or a lot of emotional stuff is coming up around it, like, you know, resistance to going on this anti-inflammatory diet, even though you know it's going to help you. It's like you still want to eat the sugar or the candy or the coffee or whatever the thing is. There's a lot of emotional stuff there. or if you just feel like you're fighting yourself, or you just can't take another thing to, you know, another supplement or another diet change, and you can't do another idea. You don't know if it's oxalates or gluten or, you know, what it is, right? Lectins, you know, like what's the thing? Sometimes it helps to go to a different channel, to use a different body instead of the physical body, focus on the emotional body or the energetic body. Sometimes we can use those, we can shift to paying attention to what's going on in that level. And sometimes that's where the work really needs to happen. And then it makes it much easier to go back and work on the physical. And honestly, when you have that mental, emotional, or that energetic level flowing easier, a lot of the physical stuff shifts just on its own. I mean, it's kind of miraculous. And this ties back in to this glass ceiling thing.
Trust me, guys, this all, Jenny and I talk like this all the time, but it all ties together. Trust us here.
So the glass ceiling piece that you were talking about, where you feel like you hold yourself back because, oh no, what if I push for that next level and that causes a cascade of bad reactions, right?
Exactly.
It's the what if, it's the other shoe's going to drop. I have to tell you, most of us who have experienced chronic illness have some level of PTSD around our illness, right? We have some, and most of us had some kind of trauma in our early life. And so we have a trauma pattern that has been set in our subconscious mind and our limbic brain. And this waiting for the other shoe to drop is a place that we grew up in and our whole nervous system is used to. And so we then begin to have the same thinking pattern when it comes to our health. Like we get well enough, but we hold ourselves down because we're like, oh, I don't want to get, gosh, if I get too well, it's going to be longer to fall. If I get too happy, then I can fall down and become unhappy. If I have, and you can see this, you may see this with your health. You can, some people do this in relationships. Some people do this just in all these different areas where we hold ourselves down from what's possible. We upper limit ourselves because we fear the crash. If that is your pattern, if that's where you're coming from, then there is so much that you can do by healing that subconscious mind. And a lot of us have limbic dysfunction. And so healing the limbic brain really allows that limbic brain to recalibrate where it can see more safety rather than seeing the danger. And it begins to shift our thinking.
Define limbic brain so people know that we're talking like fight, flight, freeze.
Yeah, the limbic brain is part of your brain that's in your subconscious. It's an old part of our brain that's always surveying for safety and danger, safety and danger, safety and danger. And this limbic brain is connected with the vagus nerve and affects our whole physiology, really. But as you said, it is connected to the fight, flight, freeze, fawn.
Exactly.
Faint.
We've had Sarah Payton on several times as well. So you guys, besides listening to the rest of this show, you can check out on understandingautoimmune.com, Sarah Payton. And she talks about the neurobiology of healing as well. And
awesome.
So, but that is critically important, understanding those responses. And I say sometimes it had been labeled in for me or in my own mind, you know, like those were anxiety things that were out of my control,
yeah,
out of my understanding. And it wasn't until I understood this idea of why is that ancient part of my brain taking over?
Yes.
And I love that you talked about danger and things. And Sarah Payton talks about that the brain has a radar going around and it's asking two questions. First, it's asking, am I safe? And then the second question is asking, do I matter?
Oh, interesting.
I really like those two as well as this idea of the automatic alert system of danger, danger, Will Robinson.
Well, I think that brings up another really good point of do I matter? Because, you know, one of the things that I always remind myself and I remind others is that one of the most important things you can do is love the one you see in the mirror and really love the one you see in the mirror. And so when it comes to healing, it's like looking at yourself and it's like, what is this one from a place where I love her? What is it that she needs right now, right? Does she need to have support to explore this new diet for this pillar of digestion detoxification, Or does she need to work on, you know, on, like I said, the subconscious, like, what does she need right now? Does she need to be in a place of surrender? Or does she need to realize that she's actually holding herself back and let her know that it's okay to hold her hand and take her to that next level and experiment with what happens if we push the ceiling a bit? You know, what happens?
Absolutely. I wanted to share that the idea of having a team was critically important in my healing. The idea of having people, yes, like Dr. Jenny and others in my world where I could call them up and say, okay, can we, what happens this together? And I think, yes, that's critically important for to understand that you're not alone. There are a lot of people out there that A, want to help you, and B, you know, probably have been through it themselves or know someone that's been through it.
And what I'd say, what I'd see is consistent along all the people that I have worked with, which is a lot at this point, is that we often hold back too long from asking for help. And I think it's ask sooner, you know, and whether that's asking, I always say knock on the doors, you know, whether that's asking sooner by reading a book or listening to a podcast, or it's asking sooner by actually getting somebody who's one-on-one, or if it's buying a program that guides you through something, whatever that thing is, keep asking for the support. If you feel like you're in here doing this alone, that's not how it needs to be. There's so many resources we have available to us now that just make sure you are feeling supported. Again, it's how do you love that one in the mirror? If she's feeling lonely and she feels like she's got to shoulder the stuff by herself, then get some people in there with you.
If your support system doesn't help you feel supported, it's okay to fire somebody.
Yes, it is.
I mean that with loving, like, you know, I'm sure whatever you're offering is awesome. However, it's not working for me. That is totally safe and fine, because that's loving yourself when you realize I've had numerous people I've met that I'm sure whatever they offered is awesome for people, but maybe it's the way we approach the world is different or something like that. And I didn't find that that was particularly nurturing nor healing until I say stood up for myself and say, hey, this isn't working. The best to you, I'm going to go find the best for me.
I have a rule of threes around that. I feel like if you know, you'll know in the first visit if it's a good match or not. You'll just know. But if you're sort of not sure, you think it's a yes, but three visits in, you don't feel like you're getting value out of it, then there's something not right. I mean, it doesn't mean you're fixed and healed in three visits, but what I mean is that you feel heard, you feel understood, you feel like that they're answering your questions in the way that's necessary. If this is a therapist, that you feel like you're actually making some shifts in your belief patterns and how you're feeling in those three visits. And then I'm like, I'm with you.
There's no harm in saying thank you, however.
Absolutely.
And I like that idea of three, because I usually knew right away, like, well, is there a connection? Are they getting me? But then also understanding, sure, sometimes just people can have an off day. And so understanding that, well, okay, give them a benefit of the doubt. But if you're giving people the benefit of the doubt, or this was a big one for me early on, was I was feeling like they were blaming me for the situation, like my diagnosis. Oh, I felt like they were shaming me for having this diagnosis. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a good thing, right, guys. That's when you just say, no, no, no.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. 100%. Yeah, you want somebody that feels like they are in partnership with you. I'm all about people being empowered, more empowered for their own healthcare. And I mean, this is a huge mission for me, because actually my background, my undergraduate was in political sociology, and I saw all the inequality and the power structures out there. And I was trying to figure out how to help the world, you know? And when I realized that it was through medicine, I merged those two things with feeling, I feel like the medical system as it is today is very disempowering. And that's how the structure is. And it's frankly disempowering for the practitioners as it is for the patients. It's disempowering for both. And I believe that we need to take our power back. And part of that is reconnecting with what it is that we really need in our bodies and beginning to understand what is our own unique toolkit that we need so that we can be our best. And then bringing in our professional helpers so that you can have the best toolkit for you. It's not for them to fix you. It's for them to support you in putting together that toolkit so you can run you, right, better.
And that's, I love that distinction. It's not that they're there to fix you, because I know with the toolkit that Dr. Jenny helped me prepare, as well as others in my world, I know what to do now. It's not as big and scary as it was when I was first diagnosed. Now, I know we have about 8 minutes left, and I want to make sure that people understand you've got some programs where people can get some tools just like I did.
Yeah, I do now. I do. It's very exciting. So I have programs for the general public. I have a program that runs you through how it is that you can uncover which of the four health foundations and which of the five root causes might be affecting your health and your energy. And it runs you through this 8-week do-it-yourself program. And it's, if you're interested in checking that out, you can check out my website. I also created a quiz, and this is not your blues name, or dare I say your porn star name, quiz. This is actual, I actually went through the algorithm that I use when I'm working with people to uncover what their root cause is. And I went through this quiz. And so you can go through the quiz and come up with an idea of what maybe your root cause is. Now, I have to say, it's not a diagnosis or treatment, but it is actually really talking about it. And then you get a report and a video, it's all for free, that talks about that root cause for you. So a lot of people have found it really illuminating to go through that quiz, and you can check that out. That's on my website as well. And then last year, you know, my COVID year, I spent really going back and diving into the research and put together a program for practitioners. So for coaches, therapists, doctors, nurse practitioners who are working with people who are exhausted from long COVID, chronic fatigue, this is the program for you. Or it's for, I know some of the people listening here, you're super self-educated and geeky. You might love
there,
this. I know you totally have your hand up. I mean, it has all the research papers, right? Like, you know, it's that medical level where you don't say anything unless it's backed up by research. That's this program. And again, it goes through the same content in terms of what are the health foundations and the root causes? How do you tell? What are the clinical questions that you ask to help you have the educated guess, and what tests can you order, and how do you interpret the labs once you get them? It's all of that in the program. So yeah, I've been doing all of this because my goal is, what I didn't get to tell you about my story is that I feel like so much chronic fatigue is unnecessary suffering, like literally. And I feel like a lot of the fatigue that people experience from autoimmune conditions is unnecessary. You don't need to be that tired all the time. It doesn't, there are things like when I look at my story, my dark night of the soul, I needed to have that for my soul growth and my journey, but I didn't need the 2 years afterwards of being dragging around feeling like I was half dead. I didn't need that. And that was unnecessary. I know that if I had known what I know then, it would have been a 6-month process instead of a multiple year process of getting myself out of the hole.
Yeah. And that's what I love about your programs, and this idea of your diagnosis is not your identity. It's just something that you have to solve.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, Sharon, I love that. I love that. Your diagnosis is not your identity. Totally. It's not. It's not who you
and
are.
I remember before I knew you, I had my diagnosis before I met Dr. Jenny, and this idea of when they told me, it was like being anointed or crowned with this label. And it was a big scare.
Right. Here's our gift to you. Here's our gift to you. Aha, we have arrived at the Pendleton decision, and you
exactly.
are this. You're like, okay, now what?
And then they tell you all these terrifying statistics.
The key for
me is educating. And as we've been, because of my direction, talking mostly physical, but as you can see, and I do agree with Dr. Jenny, the mental, emotional, spiritual, all of that is completely important to understand about yourself. And it's the interesting thing about autoimmune in the healing process is each one of us is so unique from all of those perspectives that even if the physical symptoms are very similar, the outcomes can be very different.
Yes, exactly. I 100% believe with that. And just back to your question around the glass ceiling piece, I think one of the reasons people stay under this glass ceiling is because they're told by authorities that it's not possible to heal, or that this is what defines you. And so this is another part of that glass ceiling that I believe we need and can break through together, which is this limiting cultural belief around that, as you said, your diagnosis defines you, and it doesn't. There's so much health possibility, I believe, for all of us.
As you said that, I was thinking of the time when I was doing great, went to someone who was caring for me at the time, and I remember them saying, sort of with a wagging finger, "Now, Sharon, remember, you're not cured, you're in remission." And I had to sort of do my own internal cancel clear kind of thing on that. You know? Like, oh my goodness. You know, you have to blurt out semantics here. I don't care what you call it. I'm doing great. I'm going to continue to do great and even better. So I could cancel clear having what I call the white coat authority that pronounces these things on you.
I love that.
Wow. Well, thanks for the support, dude.
I love that. So the limbic brain, sometimes talking limbic brain is like talking to a three-year-old. And when those situations come up, it's sort of like, oh no, the three-year-old heard that, right? The three-year-old heard the doctor say that. And sometimes you need to go back and reparent. You can reparent your limbic brain. Like you say, cancel clear. What I do sometimes in those situations, I'll be like, oh, little limbic brain. Hi, I know you heard that. You know, some adults don't really know how to say things in a really nice way. And actually the truth is that, you know, we're doing great. That doctor can't see inside of us.
Well, I had a true story. This was right after the diagnosis, went to a top person, and they said, "So what are you doing so far?" And you know, at the time it was newly diagnosed. I wasn't doing a lot, but I did what I knew. I said, well, you know, I've given up sugar. I'm eating organic, drinking only filtered water, you know, went through this list and none of it was harmful. Right.
Yeah.
It was. And that person turned to me and said, well, none of that is going to help.
Oh my God.
And this little thing on my shoulder popped up and said, see, I told you, you could have had the chocolate sundae. That was the little three-year-old, you know? And I'm telling you, I left there and I went and had a chocolate sundae, just diminishing all of those wonderful things I had put into place because white coat authority and the little three-year-old wanted to believe it.
Yeah.
The little three-year-old wanted to believe that. Yes.
Yes.
Oh
yes.
My goodness. We're just about out of time, Jenny, down to 2 minutes here, but she and I get together. We haven't seen each other in person in a while either. But anyway, my dear, give your website. And remind us about how we can get the quiz, because that was so cool.
Yeah. So drjennytufankian.com. So that's drjenny, J-E-N-N-Y, Tufankian, T-U-F as in Frank, E-N as in Nancy, K-I-A-N.com. And the quiz right now is partway down the page, and it's a little purple line that says, take your quiz now. Because at the top of the page, we have the program about the doctors, for the doctors, practitioners. Partway down, there's a little quiz. Go ahead and click that. You'll go be taken through the quiz. And if you hang in there, I admit you will be sent some emails about your results and all of that. And you also will get a coupon for the do-it-yourself program. If you're interested, it's a great deal to grab that coupon. So check that out and reach out to me if you have any questions. I would love to hear from you. I always love hearing people and what your responses and questions are.
Fantastic. Everyone, that's Dr. Jenny Tufankian, and understandingautoimmune.com. When we go over there, you'll see her website spelled out. It'll be a clickable link. So if you didn't quite get the spelling on that, it's Dr. Jenny Tufankian. And thank you so much, Dr. Jenny, for being on the show. And just, I love that we can just go anywhere, and you're such a good sport about going down Sharon's rabbit holes. So appreciate that.
Thank you, Sharon, for having me. It's such an honor. It's so much fun to see you. So thank you again for asking me back on here. Appreciate it.
Have a great week, whatever your adventures. Join me next week. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.